So what would a bank with huge financial interests in the economic powerhouse of China want to have most of all, besides, say, an exclusive deal with the government to hold all Chinese savings accounts? Well, that's not likely. It's not even possible. But the next best thing might be having on retainer the daughter of China's former prime minister, Wen Jiabao. It's the exclusive story in our partner, The New York Times, which reports a secretive deal by J.P. Morgan Chase to promote that bank's status with China's ruling elite. The Times reports that J.P. Morgan paid a consulting firm run by the prime minister's daughter, Wen Ruchun, who used the fake name Lily Chang. Ben Protest is one of the reporters who's been part of this exclusive Times investigation. Ben, welcome.
Thanks so much for having me.
So what is the most outrageous piece here, the secretiveness or the fact that this relationship existed at all?
Well, I think it's very common for banks in China to try to accumulate influence through the hiring of government officials, children, the sons and daughters of the ruling elite, as we say in the story. I think what's unusual here is you actually see it go all the way up to who was then the prime minister. And then, as you mentioned, there's the use of the alias. Now, it's unclear who decided to do it that way, but she used this alias, and J.P. Morgan knew that the alias was not her real name, and yet went about doing business with her to the tune of $75,000 a month contract.
And J.P. Morgan apparently had no problem with demands for an alias. And again, we don't know the precise details here, but J.P. Morgan seemed to have much more to gain here than Wen Ruchun.
I think that the idea is that $75,000 a month, while lucrative and certainly very nice, isn't always the most important thing. It's not just the cash for a consultant like this. Sometimes it's just the ability to build the resume and perhaps lead to other business down the road. Certainly the ability for J.P. Morgan to secure this kind of person on your payroll is a huge coup and potentially opens doors for the bank and the leaders of China.
Any sense of what J.P. Morgan Chase got from this and their response to your reporting? And what about the coverage of Ms. Wen and the family?
So they're actually, what we've obtained is a document that is a letter from her consulting firm to the bank that declares that, in fact, her consulting firm secured an underwriting assignment for the bank at one of the state-owned enterprises in China. It was a railway company. And so it's quite clear in black and white, and you know, there's no objection from the bank in the story, at least, that this was an assignment that the prime minister's daughter helped secure for the bank. So that's one major thing. She also helped advise on, as we describe in the story, the macroeconomic policies in mainland China. So I think it's the idea is that you had on tap, on the payroll, somebody who was able to kind of just help you navigate this, you know, booming country and that potentially could open the door to big business.
Any downside for Wen Jiabao or Wen Ruchun in China, or is this totally accepted?
I think, you know, in China, it's totally accepted. It's business as usual. For the bank, the challenge now becomes that this, as we detail in the story, this is part of one element of the federal investigation into their hiring practices in China. Prosecutors here in New York, and then you have the SEC in Washington and Boston investigating these relationships, not just with the prime minister's daughter, but also with dozens and perhaps hundreds of former government officials and current government officials, sons and daughters. And this is a major investigation that presents an important threat to the bank.
Investigating the relationship between J.P. Morgan and the government of China. Ben Protest, one of the reporters, part of a New York Times investigation. Ben, thanks so much.
Thanks so much.
This crowd will love it. Just have a listen.
This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Here's a huge sports story that does not involve the NFL and any locker room bullying. Today, Indian cricket legend Sachin Tendulkar played the first day of his 200th and final test match. It's a five-day match, which begins today in Mumbai, marks the end of Tendulkar's 24-year career. The Little Master, as he's sometimes called, led India to a Cricket World Cup victory in 2011, and I could blah, 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 blah about his stats for an hour, but let's just give you one. When Sachin Tendulkar walks up to the crease, as they say, a billion people on planet Earth stop what they're doing to watch his magic. Cricket reporter for the BBC. You can actually have a career at the BBC being a cricket reporter, not so much in the U.S. Rahul Tandon is in Mumbai. He's been following Sachin for his basically entire career. First of all, welcome to the program.
Yeah, maybe it's time you had a cricket reporter at the Takeaway.
I think we need one. You know, I would love that job. It would take the pressure off of hosting, I think. Describe just how much of a legend Tendulkar is, really.
They say that cricket's a religion here in India, and that makes Tendulkar a god, as you said, John. You know, when he walks out to bat, this whole country stops what they are doing. India is a complex nation of many faiths, you know, languages, cultures. Suddenly, when Tendulkar bats, that all disappears, and everybody becomes an Indian. You know, he's somebody even your president has talked cricket about. Basically, Obama had this great tweet. He said, I don't understand it, but I like to watch when Tendulkar's batting because I want to know who is this man who, when he bats, means that the economic production of my country, the US, goes down by 5% because all the Indians in the IT sector stop working as well. So you may not like cricket in America, but Tendulkar's affected your economy as well.
Some have compared him to Ichiro, the batter for the New York Yankees. He's also been compared to Wayne Gretzky in hockey, Muhammad Ali in boxing. Perhaps Michael Jordan is the best comparison for Tendulkar. Do you think cricket can survive his retirement, Rahul?
Yeah, I think cricket can. I think whether Indian society can is a very, very different question because he has given a sense of identity. People have grown up with him. You know, in the stands today, there were people in tears as he walked out to bat. And when he comes off, when he finally finishes playing, you know, the tears will continue. A lot of people are saying it'll leave a void in their life. Some people are saying they will stop watching cricket because of Tendulkar. The best quote I heard today was from a guy who's almost the same age as Tendulkar, who says when Tendulkar stops playing cricket, a bit of his childhood will die as well because he's grown up with him. So, yeah, cricket will survive, but, you know, society here will take a long time to get over Tendulkar. He is one of the all-time greats. He transcends the sport in the same way that Jordan does with basketball. That is what Tendulkar has done to cricket. He has got every single child, you know, boys and girls in India, in front of a mirror trying to be him. And I think that will be his lasting legacy rather than the statistics.
So a political career for him, running a business, you know, taking over from Ban Ki-moon at the UN.
He doesn't need the money, so I'm not sure he'll be running a business. He did have a restaurant, but he didn't do very well here. He is involved in politics at the moment, but he is very passionate about sport. He'd like to see India doing better in the Olympics. He'd like it up there, winning as many gold medals as you do in the States. He'd like to have sport down as part of the national curriculum. So he may move into that area. But to be honest, after being a celebrity, you know, the biggest superstar in India for 24, 25 years, where you've not been able to have a normal life, he's probably just going to go and have a holiday, listen to some music. He loves Dire Straits and drive all the very fast cars that he has. He can't do that in Mumbai. There's too much traffic here. Maybe he should come to your part of the world and do it there.
Listening to old Dire Straits music on a lazy weekend sounds great. Sachin Tendulkar, of course, retiring from cricket. Rahul Tandon is the BBC cricket reporter. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.